Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have a very special guest. This is the radio debut for a lovely young lady that operates a business down in Cabo San Lucas, which is called Griselda's Smokehouse. Grace, are you there?
Hi, John. I'm here.
Oh, well, I wish I was there.
Weather is wonderful.
It is. Life is good, especially if you're in Cabo. And of course, you get to be right next to the marina, enjoying all these happy anglers that come in to bring you their catch.
Yes, I'm very lucky about that, yes.
And I know that you're still a young lady, but how long have you been in Cabo doing this?
About almost 20 years, I would say, yes.
Wow. Well, I know that you're, you know, everybody knows, if they don't know you, then they're foolish. But what you do is that you help the people that come down, the people that catch things that they would like to eat. They bring them in, drop them off. And I have to say, Grace, I've done this in many different places, but the service you provide at the price you provide it for is unmatched with anybody that I know. Because you're, you know, for I think $1.50 a pound, is that what you're charging now for processing?
Yes, that's what we charge, $1.50 a pound.
That's probably what it was 20 years ago too, isn't it?
Yes, it's been like this for many years since we started, actually.
But no, that's you bring in. Now, Grace, let's talk a little bit about before someone brings the fish in. Now, in Cabo San Lucas, any time of the year, any time is a good time. And then, of course, when the weather is warmer and the water is warmer, there's even more fish around. But what's coming in right now? Are you getting any maybe some yellowtail, yellowfin, or sierras? Or what's out there right now?
Right now, a lot of sierras. The sierra bite has been really good. Some dorados are still here. We're catching maybe a couple dorados, you know, per boats. But most of them are loading up on sierras, which are very good. And some tunas started to come in, but they're still about 20, 25 miles off.
Yes. And what is your favorite?
Sierra. My favorite is Sierra, for sure.
You know, that is something that is, you know, most people don't think of going to Baja to catch Sierra. But it really is. First of all, it's a lot of fun. For their size and their fight, you go out after them on light tackle, and they're inshore. You can actually catch them right off the beach down there in some places.
Yes, a lot of people, they set up gear, and they go offshore on the shore fishing, and they bring them to us also, you know, which is, they do very good. And the fun part is that the anglers, even when they go on boats, they're actually hands-on. You know, everybody's jigging, everybody's trying and catching sierras, which is really nice.
Well, of course, they're not all that easy because of their teeth. I know that one of the first times I went after them, I was extremely frustrated because every time I got a bite, I came up with an empty line. No hook, no nothing.
Yeah, there's a different setup. You know, you have a little wire leader. And my friend, you know, there's a lady here, Minerva.
Oh, yes.
She's got them set up already.
Yes.
And that's what I tell everybody, go there because they have a little wire leader. That's what you need. They have sharp teeth. You don't want to get your hands close to their mouth.
No, they do. It's like, and they fit together like, so that they pinch off the line if the hook goes down. But yeah, Minerva is another one of my favorites. We've been fishing with her for many years. What a wonderful lady. And of course, the two of you have probably been down there. I don't know who was there first, but probably she was.
Minerva. She was here way before we were. She knows a lot. She's got the boats and she's got the tackle shop. Helps us out a lot when the fish are difficult. We go up there, we set up our gear with her, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, the nice thing is, last time I was down there, you came over to Minerva's boat and picked up the fish. We got off the boat, you know, walked over to the condo and didn't have to worry about anything. Just go pick it up when it's time to go. That's awesome.
Yeah, we do that. We pick up the fish at your boat. If you tell your captain to call us, we go up there, pick it up, clean it, fillet it, clean it. Clean the bloodlines, the bones, everything, vacuum pack it, and nice size meals for like two or three people.
Right.
And freeze it. That's what we do here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about when people are still on the boat and they catch the fish. What do you recommend that they do as soon as they get it on board?
Before they leave, actually, I tell the people, when you know you're going to go out, invest in a couple nice bags of ice and have ice ready for the fish. When you catch the fish, you want to keep it nice and cold. You know, just kind of start covering it. Put some ice on the cooler. And that really helps, especially in the summer. You know, you were talking about in the summertime, in August, September, it gets pretty warm out there. And they used to, most of the captains are pretty good about it now. They have ice on board and take extra ice because the water is warm out there. And they used to put it, they used to put water on the fish. They used to put it in the bait tanks.
Right.
And then they figured if they keep putting water, but you know what? Our water is like 80 degrees sometimes out there.
Oh, nice, it'd be like 88 degrees sometimes.
Right, 85, 88. And by the time it would come back into the smokehouse, I would tell people, I don't want to vacuum pack your fish because you're going to get sick. It's soggy. It's already been warm. But now, you know what? About 95% is always good. People put in ice.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, stop by, and if you don't have a cooler, they can borrow the cooler.
Wow.
Just to have extra coolers, you know. And that's what we do. When they're out there, keep it cold. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it. As soon as you're coming into Cabo, tell your captain to call us. So we're, you know, we go up there with a panga or with our fish cart and pick up the fish and bring it right into the smokehouse.
Right.
Start processing.
I think that everything has gotten better. Things have changed in Cabo, but they've changed for the better. I've been going down there for probably about 25 years without missing a year. And the fishing, I think, is as good or better now than it ever has been. Of course, the catch and release on the billfish makes a big difference.
Right.
And, you know, we'd prefer that, you know, you don't kill those and take them into see Griselda's. But, you know, if it happens that it works out that way, then obviously do that. But, you know, we want to put those back and catch them again and again.
Yeah, you want to put them back in the water. Mm-hmm. There's so much other good fish to smoke or to take home for your dinner, you know.
What's the best kind of fish to smoke?
To smoke, well, the Sierra tuna, actually the bonitas that we have here in Cabo, they're very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
This white bonitas, we call it, they have teeth, and those are very good. Dorado, not as much.
Yeah.
You know, Dorado is good, fresh, you know, eat
right.
it fresh, and the Sierra and the tuna are excellent.
Well, you want something that has a little bit more oil, yes?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we're looking for, because then I can turn out a good product. I can't go wrong, and people will be happy with me.
Right. Well, would you mind giving us, we've only got less than 2 minutes, but can you give us a secret recipe on what you do with the fish when you smoke it? Give it real quickly. How do you brine it, for how long, and what do you use, and how do you smoke it?
Yeah, well, you want to brine it for at least 12 hours. And if you have special spices that you like and you want it more impregnated, leave it longer. But you want to use kosher salt. Salt is the one that helps it to withdraw the liquid from the fish, so it's not soggy and it preserves it. You have it 6 months, 7 months, it still be good. And I also like to use soy sauce, which is that gives it a little more of a teriyaki and ginger.
Mm-hmm.
But for smoked fish, actually, the flavors that you like, you can add to the brine. And the fish, you'll be tasting it when you cook or when you're eating it. Just as a snack or in dips or
quesadillas. How long do you smoke it? At what temperature?
Okay, we bring it up to a high temperature, like a 200. Then we lower it down. But first, you know, it's a drying process. Then we lower it down. And then I like it about 170. 170 is where it'll stay. And until it's
perfect.
Done, we just keep drying it. And
Grace,
and,
we're gonna have to let you go now. So I think we're gonna have to come back and talk some more a little bit later. But we need to get you a website. In the meantime, you're right on the docks, right next to the Baja Cantina dockside, and just when you're walking down the Malecón, everybody knows. Just tell your captain to call Grace so you can bring your fish in.
Oh, yeah, and even if you don't go fishing, just stop by and sample some of our fish.
Perfect.
And we'll help you out.
Perfect.
All right?
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you again real soon. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be back.
The The Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-383-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep sea adventure by calling 805-383-1612.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja. Great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espirito Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
If you're looking for a magical and unique gift for someone special, look no further than the skies above you. Santa Barbara Soaring specializes in glider rides, making memories that last a lifetime. Experience Santa Barbara, the San Ynez Valley, and Central Coast with the silence of soaring. Purchasing a gift certificate is just a couple of clicks away. Visit SantaBarbaraSoaring.com. Pick your ride and the certificate will be sent directly to you just in time for the holidays. Let Santa Barbara Soaring help you provide the gift they'll never forget. SantaBarbaraSoaring.com.
The water on the lake is smooth as glass. We might catch a sunny, we might catch a bass. Oh, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Let's go fishing.
Come on, let's go fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the unique pleasure of we have Bob McCammy on the line with us. And instead of trying to introduce Bob, I'm going to let him do that. Bob, give us an idea who you are and a little bit about the company you work with.
My name is Bob McCammy, and I work with a company, Mudhole Custom Tackle, in Oviedo, Florida, which is just outside of Orlando on the northeast side. We are a company that sells component parts and pieces to build and customize your own fishing rods as well as repair them. And we also sell fly tying supplies and lure building supplies. So we're a one-stop source for all your needs, whether you want to build a fishing rod, repair a fishing rod, tie your own flies, or make your own lures. Our website address is www.mudhole.com. A very, very detailed website with a lot of instructions here again on how to build your tackle. We have videos and tutorials on the website as well when you go on the homepage to click on that will actually show you how to do these type things.
Wow, sounds like just what we need. And now, if I imagine you have distribution, but if somebody wants to buy directly from you, they can go to the website?
Yes, sir, you can order. We have a shopping cart feature that's very easy to maneuver. We do offer technical support for those people via the phone lines. If you would like to call in or send emails to help you get started, we don't just leave you kind of sitting in the dark on these type projects. We're mm-hmm. here to help you in any possible way we can and make the task much easier for you.
Well, a couple of things that come to my mind. First of all, the idea of building your own fishing rod, it's not something you do because it's cheaper. It may not even be the best you can get. But when you're using a tool that you built and created yourself, fishing has a lot of fishing has to do with the great moments in your life. And when you pick up a rod, and it'll bring back a lot of these, you know, great moments in your life, and just having it and something that you did and created, there's a lot of reasons to do it. But before we get into that, let's kind of go back a little bit to something a little more simple. Now, if you're fishing in a boat, maybe you've got two fishing rods or three, one for each different type of fishing you're going to be doing, and something bad happens. Let's just say your tip comes loose or breaks off. I guess you might say SOL for that rod. But if you know and think ahead of time and you listen to this program, what would you tell people?
Well, you bring forth actually a very good question, because that's one thing that we definitely insist that people, whether they get into building their own rods or just repairing rods, it's a simple matter of keeping a little assortment of tips in your tackle box with a little hot melt glue that you can use and easily repair a tip top if you happen to damage a tip during the fishing session. Or let's just say you're going on a destination trip somewhere and you wanted to pack those supplies. What we would suggest is you also have maybe a few assortments of guides and sizes that would accommodate the rods you're going to carry. And we sell the thread that you wrap to hold the guides on. Mm-hmm. And also, somewhat, I would say, very simple repair kits that you could, here again, just pack in your luggage or your tackle box, and anytime you're out and about, you could do a little quick fix on a rod and at least continue to fish while you're on your trip, and then maybe do a better repair on the rod when you get back home. But it's very, very simple to easily just keep those supplies handy for you and not run a good fishing trip.
You know, Bob, when someone gets on a boat, or even if they just go up to the river for the afternoon, one of the first things you do is you take with you a first aid kit, right?
Yes, sir.
And this first aid kit, you may need it for yourself, or you may need it for one of your buddies. But it sounds like you also need a first aid kit for your rods.
You're exactly right. And just as I mentioned, it's very easy to, whether you'd like to call us for advice. There are measurements with tips and guide sizes, which is very easy to do with just a flat ruler. You provide those inside measurements of the guides. We can tell you what sizes you would need to purchase. And the same thing goes for a tip. There's all types of assorted sizes, and we do carry a very, very extensive selection of these type supplies where that you can get with us and let us know the sizes of your rod tips or your guides. And we'll make sure you get the proper sizes here again, where that you go out on your trip, you'll be able to do a simple repair on your rod. And on our website, as I suggested, we have a lot of videos and we have tutorials. There is a good section in there on repairing rods. We have so much useful information on our website. We feel like if we can provide this information to people, here again, it makes either repairing a rod or building a rod from scratch a very, very easy thing to do.
It sounds like it might be a little bit complicated. If someone might be a little bit intimidated to talk about replacing tips and guides, give us a kind of a quick idea about what it takes and how complicated it may or may not be.
In most cases, a simple tip top fix. Generally, tips are placed on the end of the rod with a high temperature hot melt glue. The reason being is, here during the summertime, especially like in Florida, you couldn't go with a low temperature hot melt glue, or otherwise the tips would just migrate back off the end of the rod. So therefore, basically, you just take something like a little Bic lighter, gently apply some heat to the surface area, the exterior of the tip, take a pair of needle nose pliers, and remove the tip top. You will then, while the kind of the area is a little bit warm, either your thumbnail or simple use a plastic credit card so that you don't damage the rod. Remove the excess glue that was on there. You shave a little slender of the hot melt glue off of its a little stick, a cylinder-shaped stick. You shave off a little area. Roll it between your fingers so that you can then put it inside the tube of the tip. And also you'll heat the end of the glue stick to put a little more on the end of your rod. Heat the tip, the actual metal tip that goes on the rod, as well as the hot melt you have on the rod. Put everything back into position. Hold it for no more than just about a minute. It sets right up, and you've got a new tip on the end of your rod.
Sounds like even I could do that. Now, sometimes the tip won't break, but it'll just come loose.
In that case, generally, most of the time, that's some of these companies, not all companies, use the best of materials, as would be with anything in life, let's say. And like I say, if you have a tip that comes loose, that may be a situation where they either didn't get enough glue in the tip to begin with, or it's an inferior type hot melt glue that will break down over a lower type mm-hmm. temperature, let's say. And basically there, I would suggest just discarding that tip, because you have residue that's inside mm-hmm. the tip and you may not get a good bond when you go back. Buy you a new tip, start all over, and install it with a good grade of hot melt glue mm-hmm. that we do have here, and right. the proper size tip, and away you
gotcha.
Go.
Well, and also, if you're in the middle of the action, sometimes you can just heat up the tip and push it back on, and you're set for right now anyway.
That's a very good point. In the middle of the process of fishing, let's say, just like you said, sometimes you can, it's just a matter of maybe where it did break down a little bit, but you still got enough there that you could reheat, realign it, and away you go.
Okay, well, tips sound pretty easy. We've got guide. Of course, there's other components, too, and I don't know how much time we have to get into, you know, like, you know, the... you know, the butt portion, but on the guides themselves, it sounds like that might be a little more complicated. How difficult is that to replace?
It sounds difficult, but it's not. Basically, there, all guides are pretty much on fishing rods, except for some of the lower-end rods. They use a heat-shrink material nowadays on some of these low, very, very low-price rods. But for the most part, guides are held on with nylon thread that has been wound around the rod, and then tied off on each end to secure the guide, and then a two-part clear finish goes over the top. If you did have a guide for some reason, let's just say the ceramic ring busted and you needed to replace it, or maybe somebody stepped on a rod or the rod itself and crushed a guide, basically all you do is take something like an X-Acto knife, and you want to make a slice in the clear coating that is over the threads that protects it. And when you make that slice, you want to do it along where the guide foot is on the rod. That way, if you did cut down into it a little deep, you would be cutting into the metal portion of the guide foot and not the rod blank. That's one thing you don't want to do, trying to do a repair, is cut on the wrong side of the blank and then go down and gouge the blank. You might run into a little problem there.
Yeah, okay.
But basically, you just make that slit with a little X-Acto on the top of the metal guide foot. Take your Bic lighter here again. Hit the slit with a little bit of heat. That's going to kind of somewhat soften up that clear coat finish. And basically, when you heat that up, that will all peel off, basically like you'd peel an orange.
Mm-hmm.
You then heat that area, as I talked about before, to take either your thumbnail or a credit card, plastic knife, something of that nature that has that somewhat softened up where you can scrape that residue off. You then go back, and here again, we have a procedure, same situation on our website, that you can view how to apply the threads that holds the guide on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, if you're repairing a really nice rod, you would want to use one of our better two-part epoxy finishes.
Looks like we're running out of time. I knew that we needed more time. But it
yes,
sounds
sir.
Like what you need to do is get in touch with Bob or anybody else at mudhole.com, and maybe they can fix you up with one of these emergency first aid kits when you take it out. I would say that's a great idea. And next time we talk to you, maybe we'll get into a little bit more about rod building.
Yes, sir. We can sure go very, very in-depth Okay. With the subject of rod building, I
there
promise.
You go.
We just scratched the surface today on repairs.
There you go.
When we
okay.
actually talk about building custom rods, we can get very detailed.
There you go. Well, let's keep it simple for us folk. Anyway, thank you, Bob, very much. You're awesome, and thanks for all those great tips. Give mudhole.com and get in touch with them. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hannigan.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years' experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Want to make your drive more exciting? It starts with Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline. It's Ferrari's choice for improved performance. Shell V-Power removes an average of 60% of performance-robbing gunk on intake valves left by low-quality premium gasolines. And it starts with your very first tank. The result is the kind of performance that gives you more excitement behind the wheel. Choose Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline today and let the excitement begin.
Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hannigan in studio, and we have the lovely Tanya from Diamond Valley Lake on the line with us to give us a little bit of an idea what's happening in the middle of winter in cold, cold Southern California.
So cold. So about 85 degrees cold.
Well, now remember, Tanya, there's people listening to us that would think that if they could get up to 0 degrees, they'd be happy.
I know.
But anyway, too bad for them. Why don't they should just come on out and visit Diamond Valley Lake? And Diamond Valley Lake is, I guess it's considered Southern California. You're actually within a short drive from Los Angeles area, right?
Yep, we're about 90 miles east of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And Diamond Valley, you know, I think that Diamond Valley Lake is a bit of a jewel. So it seems to be appropriate there. But give us a quick idea, a little bit about the lake.
Well, we rent boats here. You can bring your own boat. We have shore fishing. We rent bikes now. There's no body contact, but it's mainly for fishing, and it's a pretty good fishing lake.
Okay. And that Tanya, give us an idea about, you know, exactly how to find you and maybe a website.
You can reach us at 951-926-7201, and the website is dvmarina.com.
Okay.
There's also an address on there if you need to know where we're at or how to get directions here, and we can also give you directions.
Okay. And, well, what do you like to do up there?
Fishing, definitely.
What's your favorite?
And I love fishing for striper.
Okay.
Striper is my favorite, but we just stock trout. I mean, we've been stocking trout a lot, even throughout the winter, even though it's pretty warm, but we've been stocking trout, and Fish and Wildlife has also been stocking trout, so there's been plenty of trout
great
catching.
And, oh, stripers are so much fun. Besides that, they taste really good.
Oh, yes, they do. They're my favorite.
Okay. And do stripers eat trout?
They do. So when we stock trout, it's always best to use a trout-like lure, swim bait.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's... I have to remember that, but you can't use trout for bait.
No, you cannot. Okay. You can use a trout-like lure.
Okay.
And
what was that website one more time?
DVMarina.com.
DVMarina.com. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tanya, I would recommend anybody that's going to be coming this direction, they stop on out there. You're kind of out in the, you know, beautiful part of the country. And it is a beautiful lake, especially if you're on it.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Tanya. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay, I think that we're going to see if we can get another little bit of a report right now. Let's see if we can find Amy on the line. Amy, are you there?
I am. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. What do you mean, by the way? it's just me. Grizz is out fishing.
Okay.
So it's just you and me.
All right.
Okay. But Amy is at Channel Island Sport Fishing, which is in South Central California, but the Santa Barbara Channel is just a phenomenal place just to be out on the water, even if you don't go fishing, but just to be out on the water. I guess the whales are coming through this time of the year, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We send boats out every day on doing whale watching trips, and they are just having an absolute blast.
So let's see. This is January. Are they still on their way south, or are they going back north yet?
I believe south. I'm pretty horrible. I have not actually been out on a whale watching trip myself. My New Year's resolution is to start getting out there more often and take advantage of it, but I'm pretty sure it's south.
Yes, yeah, they go down to Magdalena Bay. And is it gray whales or humpbacks, or what are we seeing?
Yeah, both actually right now.
Okay.
So,
yeah, they're on their way from Alaska down to Baja to make some babies and raise a family and then head back up north again.
Sounds perfect. Yeah, it's great weather for them.
It is. And they do. How close to shore do they come?
Pretty close. I know sometimes you can even see them from the PCH going through Malibu, Point Magoo. So,
right.
Now, you know.
See that little spout of water?
Yep, that's right.
By the way, have you ever been, you said you did that, close enough to a whale when it spouts? It has a... How can I phrase it? It's like they got bad breath.
Yes, I have heard that before. It has a peculiar smell.
Yeah.
I haven't been that close. Not yet. Yeah. It's on my bucket list.
Right. Well, there's something else that I'm not even going to bring up, but that's something completely different. But they are amazing creatures.
Yeah.
And then in the Santa Barbara Channel, once in a while, we do get the largest mammal that's ever inhabited the earth. And what is that?
The blue whale.
Yes.
Yes.
So
I can't
if you
wait.
Get lucky, you might see some of those. But right now, get on down and maybe go out there. And you're still, are you hooping for lobsters?
Yeah, still doing that on the weekends, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays.
And then you're out getting some sand dabs and still going out on some fishing trips?
Yep, there's still being some fish being caught right now, sand dabs, perch, sculpin, things like that.
Okay.
But yeah.
All righty. Well, let's get on down there. And it's an easy, easy website, which is?
Ciscos.com.
CISCOS.com.
That's it.
And then if you want to get in touch, and if you're lucky, if you go to their website and give them a call, Amy might even answer the phone and help you out.
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much.
All right, Amy. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Have
thanks.
A good one. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, I believe that we have Harold Davis on the line with us. The Harold Davis. Are you there?
Hello, John. How are you?
Fantastic. Harold, it's so good to talk to you. Now, the Davis name is, especially on the West Coast, if I said legendary, would that make you sound old, Harold?
Well, I am old, John.
No, you're a kid.
Older than you, John.
Yeah. Oh, well, Yeah, that doesn't
That's
mean
almost
much.
Like fossilized.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, you've had a tremendous career building boats, and the Davis boats, they're very unique boat because they were built primarily, you know, you're a fisherman. They're boat pretty much for people that like to fish, but they're also built to withstand almost anything, almost any kind of weather, very comfortable and very safe. And I know that a lot of the Davis boats that you built, you know, the components that you put on them, you know, people, you know, wipe them off and they look brand new.
Yeah, it's one of those. It was very much a niche market. We made about 400 boats in our 25 years of construction. And they were all, you could say custom, but I want to say more personalized. I had basic frames that I worked off of and everything from 16 to 34 feet. And the John Hennigans of the world would come in and say, I want this, and this with this kind of power, and we would make it all work.
Mm-hmm.
So it was typically not your first-time boat buyer's boat. And it was typically rigged and built with the highest quality stuff of the day,
mm-hmm.
which has kind of made the boats perpetuate themselves because we graduated into a all-plastic product, and that just doesn't disintegrate. All you do is repower and put on new electronics,
mm-hmm.
change some canvas and railings and towers, and you're gone.
Right. When you say plastic, that's not exactly the way I would describe it, but I guess technically that's true. But what I'd like to do, Harold, is get involved with some people that are thinking ahead, and maybe the frost is already gone and they're starting to look forward to next year, and some tips on caring for your boat when it's out of the water, and maybe some of the things you might want to be doing now to get ready for the upcoming season.
Well, all across the United States, the weather has gone from freezing to frying. Right here where we live, it was the hottest spot in the United States two days ago. At 91 degrees, and I look back on the East Coast, and they're still in the teens.
Yep.
But anybody's boat that hasn't been used in a period of time, and especially after cold weather, you're going to have to go through some stuff to make sure that everything is working properly. And although they think, all right, I have an outboard motor, and it's been standing upright, and I shouldn't have a problem in the freeze, you can definitely freeze an impeller inside of a motor and make it to where it's ineffective when you start it up in the springtime.
Oh, so the rubber itself
will take a set.
Well, okay, and then when you fire it up, and the last thing that you want to do is find out too late that you're not getting good water circulation.
Yes, and so that term preventative maintenance is what it is. Some people wait until it prevents them from going somewhere, and some people take preventative maintenance. But with the preventative maintenance, you're going to want to also look at batteries.
Right.
Now, there's some key to batteries that a lot of people don't think about. They look at it as being a Group 24, a Group 27, or a Group 31, and they go, oh, geez, I can buy this one for $49, or I can buy this one for $89. And everybody kind of naturally gravitates towards the best deal going. Well, they're the same size case, but they don't have the reserve cranking capacity in those batteries. And you need to be cognizant that these new fuel-injected engines – with the high energy ignition, have to have a certain amperage battery to make all of that stuff function. So some people will buy a cheap battery and it'll turn over the motor, lickety split, and there's nothing left for the ignition system.
Mm.
And they go, my engine won't fire. And so if you have an old battery that's losing power, or if you have bought too small a battery, sometimes your engine has a hard time starting or won't start at all. So you need to be cognizant of the battery. Take a look in your owner's manual. Find out what amperage battery that needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing, we're about out of time, but when someone, should they disconnect the battery? I know when a battery sits for just a couple of months, if it's completely dead, it ruins the battery, right?
Correct. And if you have an alternator, it always has voltage going through it, whether the engine's running or not. Although it's milliamps, it's still the discharge. So you want to recharge that battery on occasions to keep it in its best performance.
Now, Harold, I know that you've kind of moved on from building the boats to maintaining boats. How does somebody want to get in touch with you?
You can go to our website, davisboats.com, and all the information's on there, including some used boats.
Okay. So it's davisboats.com.
Yep.
And you are located in California around Paso Robles, right?
beautiful Paso Robles, the wine country of the West.
There you go. Come on out and bring your boat with you. Harold,
all right.
Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate you joining us on Fish Talk Radio, and we would like to maybe spend some more time with you. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we thank you for tuning in.